suggested that legal positivism, or logical positivism at least, wouldn't have been often at least cursorily mentioned in, say, a first-year philosophy course, but that doesn't mean people wouldn't have forgotten it anyway, I guess. But I was kind of hoping you might see fit to expand on this other thing with, and I kind of thought for all the times I've heard you on different shows, you'd go into this a little more, and that is with the doctrine of legal positivism, the aspect of it being a, say, philosophico-religious belief, whereas a law is meant to be largely negative, prescriptively punish bad behavior, the aspect where legal positivism is the doctrine that you're supposed to force people into doing the right thing, quote-unquote, according to somebody's definition.
Well, I did do a talk on that on April the 20th with Michael, but that you're in the right area when you look at legal positivism, because this has been something that I've had to do a lot of study on, because as I mentioned on air with Michael, if you go back and look at the Exodus Ten Commandments and the verses coming into it in Exodus 20, I believe it is, you'll see that it is definitely the will of God or the will of the Lord or the will of Moses or the will of whoever that is making commands on the people. And that is textbook legal positivism. When whatever the prince says has the force of law, then you're looking at legal positivism. It's not law. It's not made law. It's not judge law. It's just that the president, through an executive order, says something, and then it has the force of law.
But so, you're not, you weren't suggesting that a biblical law in any, more than any tiny measure would be sort of legal positivistic to force people to do the right things.
Well, whether it's to do the right thing or to the wrong thing depends upon the belief system that we're looking at. But whatever it becomes, just the whatever the prince says or the Lord says, that is legal positivism.
Whoa, time out. We're running out of time here, Roger. I've got to let you go. We've got 20 minutes left in the broadcast, and we have 5 phone calls. We've got to get through these calls here and entertain these other listeners. Paul in Florida, welcome to the broadcast, Paul.
Yeah, hi. Enjoy your guest today. I was listening in the last half hour segment. He mentioned several prominent people in history. And I was wondering, is there, at the core of this, is there an Illuminati Masonic connection?
Affirmative.
Yeah, by all means.
Okay, would you care to expand on that? Or
I would like to expound on it.
Take a while.
With accuracy. And the difficulty for me, you might be able to do better with this with your computer. The difficult for me is getting the English translations of Henry St. Simon's work. But there's no doubt whatsoever in my mind that there was a connection to either the Blue Lodges or the Carbonari or the Illuminati. There's a Rothschild twist in here. Mm-hmm. There are varieties of things, which is why I have been trying desperately to get people to wake up to Auguste Comte and Henry St. Simon and go and get busy. And I threw out Credit Mobilier, which is a major clue.
Yep.
There's the Perriers. There's the Parisian Jewish banking families, Hal Levy, mm-hmm. and others, you see. But yep. until I have the opportunity, because I don't want you to take something from me that I can't prove in my mm-hmm. research, until I get the opportunity of finding English translations, I have to just say that from my understanding of not only the occult and other things and religious whatnot, I can read in those words that he's written that he's definitely influenced.
Yeah, I think that's what's at the bottom of all this. Well, all right, sir. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Ann in New Mexico. Welcome to the broadcast, Ann.
Hi, Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, William. This is an excellent conversation. I'm just amazed, and so I have to call in.
You know,
Yahweh gave us 10 thou shalt nots, which is a check on our wicked nature, but the government wants to give us 1,000,000 thou shalt.
That's right.
But now let me expand on what you're saying about the Planet Inc. They're merchandising us and the whole planet.
You got it.
And they want to chip, which will override the DNA and through our sense data reinterpret the territory. Now, if you remember, S.I. Hayakawa said the map is not the territory. So So they're going to reinterpret it through language, food, television, print, actual events through media interpretation, and then it gets more insidious through GPS and cell towers.
Oh,
and
boy.
And it's a wicked, wicked, wicked evil thing that they want to do, which is merchandise. And if you go to Ezekiel 28, it says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And also, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. And they're trafficking, and they want to, like you say, set up the corporate humankind in connection with Gaia and worship it.
That's right.
Because Satan wants worship, and he hates Yahweh. And Yahweh be praised through his son Yahshua HaMashiach. It's a spiritual battle. And as I'm saying these words, I'm just overwhelmed with this truth that I'm saying. It's we must stand up and we must recognize and, like you say, separate, because they are after the seed. It's a spiritual warfare.
And I've been waiting for you to call on one of the broadcasts that I've been on, because we know each other through the radio, even though you might not remember. But I would like to get in touch with you about the research that you've done on Leo Strauss.
Yes. I really would like to.
And if you could leave your name with the board op, if that would be allowed, I will call you, and we can.
I was thinking the same thing, you know, and I thought, oh, I really would like to talk to him.
Yes, we have a lot of common time on radio with other broadcasters.
Leo Strauss, he is the core, along with Trotsky and all those other people, and Shadia B. Drury has exposed him. She herself really isn't, I believe, understanding it. She approaches it from a very logical mind through her carnal mind, but it's essentially spiritual. And yes, Leo Strauss is influencing William Crystal and all of these people, the cabal surrounding Bush.
You've got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this
would
be very interesting, Ann. I appreciate your phone call.
All right.
And keep that phone number handy for the board operator, okay?
All right, and Yahweh bless you.
Thank you so much. Let's do some more of this next week, William.
Sounds good.
Okay, let's go to Carol Ann in Maryland. Carol Ann, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, thanks. I love your show, Chris. I love the fact that you let people, because there's so many people that are smart out there that know things, call in and you actually have real conversations with them instead of cutting them off.
Well, thank you.
Also, I want to say that anyone who has a lecture about this kind of information should go to California, because I lived there 40 years.
Yes.
And those people, they're not stupid. They're just really misinformed, and it's like a glamour that's over them, and it needs to be broken.
Don't you notice that most Californians aren't listening to what we're talking about?
I'm sorry?
Don't you notice that most Californians, you don't see many phone calls from California on these broadcasts that we do, and they just aren't paying attention?
Yeah, but it's rough living in California. You really have to work hard to make a living and pay the rent.
It's a third world there. I've been there. I've lived there all my life. I just, until 2001, I lived there all my life. So I know where you're coming from, Carolina.
Well, they have so much entertainment and so many distractions. I don't think very many people have been turned on to shortwave. That's why anybody who lectures about this stuff should go there, and plant the seed. William, thank you very much for doing all the work. And I wanted to ask you something, because I've heard this term before. There was a man that had a radio show in California for a while on AM radio. It was for a brief time that I was amazed, because I had heard about it before, but he was defending Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand. I remember that gentleman.
Ayn Rand.
I remember that gentleman. Yeah.
Isn't this the same thing?
No, not exactly. I've read Ayn Rand's work, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I see a lot of the continuation of positivism in her writing. And so I wouldn't say categorically, no, this isn't the same thing, but there is so much. But, Carol, it seems to me that if we go back and start with positivism and build from there in the modern period, that we kind of bring together all of the philosophies. There's 105 different ways to hide this illuminous message, and positivism seems to me, and I may be mistaken, and I wish someone would correct me if I am, because I don't like to be in error, but it seems to me that this is the fountain from which it all flows. And Ayn Rand had a lot of really interesting writing, but it was only through the reading of her material that I came to understand that she had built an entire cult of following behind it. And so cults and cultisms, they're all out there. I'm not looking for a cult, and I'm certainly not trying to bring in followers, you know. There won't be an altar call on this broadcast. But
yes.
I am encouraging people to look into this and make their comparisons with the various other philosophies and see if I'm not correct that at the heart and core of most of the New World Order agenda is this concept of a positivist world moving away from the theological stage, moving away from the metaphysical stage of thought, and fully embracing the observable, the five-sense data world. Unfortunately, when we do that, we forget that the natural law includes other things in man. Not only does man breathe and drink and excrete and procreate, man also has a heart. Man thinks, but man also loves. And man remorses, and man grieves. And these are things that the positivists don't address because you can't measure them empirically.
And so does Yahweh do all those things. And what amazes me is that everyone who's involved in that is extremely arrogant. You have to be, because if you just read the back of the book, you know how it comes out, and it's not a good end.
Well,
for them.
There are thousands of people out there that really subscribe to her writings. I've read them.
No, I'm in the back of the book.
Oh, the book.
The Bible.
There is a word, and it ends in amen, does it not?
Yes, but it's not a good end for those who don't choose him.
Well, Carol Ann, I appreciate your participation. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now. Let's see if Jeff has a question for you, William. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast. Hello, Jeff. Okay, let's go to Bob in Wisconsin. Bob, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, I'm talking about the federal hate crimes bill. Have you, in regards to that, have you noticed that the Bush family, since they've been in office, they have started things such as the forced smallpox vaccine amongst the first responders?
They're working on that. Let's continue on the other side as we wrap up this broadcast today. We'll try and entertain Bob's question there, William. Forced vaccinations. What a setup. The State Model Emergency Health Powers Act was put in for a purpose, listeners, and it came in under Patriot Act 2, I believe, forced into the other states that didn't accept it, I believe. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. We'll be right back. Stay with us.